Good evening, church. I'd like to start off by asking two questions. For those of us who weren't raised in the church, do we remember what we were like before becoming Christians? And for all of us, what would we be like today, if we weren't Christians? For me personally, I have a lot of struggles with my anger and having patience and respect. And if I weren't a Christian, these problems would probably be a lot more prevalent in my life, and I wouldn't care about them nearly as much. But what happened to me? In my case, my parents watered the seed of my faith, meaning from birth, I've been going to church. But that doesn't mean that I don't ever question the Bible or question my faith. I'm sure that's something we can all attest to doing. But to this day, my parents and the church are still encouraging me. So when I say that my parents planted the seed of faith in me, what does that mean? Well, literally, planting a seed is putting it in the ground and covering it with soil. And figuratively, it can mean a lot of things, which is what we'll be discussing tonight. Now, to figure out what this means, are there any biblical analogies to this? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, Paul writes, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth." So figuratively, planting a seed could mean making a small or large influence on others by perhaps creating, building, or restoring their faith. I'd like to ask another question. Does being a Christian require faith? I think of our Wednesday night family prayers, and I find it amazing being able to be in an environment with 200, 300, or 400 other people. All of us are just bowing our heads in reverence to God and praying for one another out of love. And I've heard often that we're praying to a God that we never see. I also find amazing the worship church on Mission Sunday. As we heard from Dan Jenkins last week, we were able to raise over $100,000. And I realize that the church has a lot of goals, and we didn't quite meet all of them, but the money we raised was no small feat. And as Dan also said, in the past 10 or 11 years, we've been able to raise over $1.2 million to promote the word of Jesus. I've heard that Jesus is a man that we've never personally met, and that we pray to a God we never see. While this is true, and when people make it sound like this, it's hard to have faith sometimes. But in reality, when people say that, they're just outlining what faith is, believing in things unseen. So ever since my parents planted the seed in me, I've done a lot of questioning of the Bible and questioning of my faith, and that's only brought me more answers and brought me evidence. But many still don't believe and need the seed to be planted in them and need faith to be made in them. And others who do believe often struggle with their faith. So this is where the planting comes in. And how do we do it? And if you would like to turn with me, I'll be referencing Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8, otherwise known as the parable of the sower. And it reads, "Behold, the sower went out to sow," or plant, "and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came and choked them out. And others fell among the good soil and yielded the crop." And this is later explained in the same chapter in verse 19, if you will read with me. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who understands it." So what are these verses saying? Well, before we can plant the seeds, we have to have courage and trust in God. For me personally, I'm always afraid of being persecuted before I try to plant the seeds in anybody, and that's a big personal struggle of mine. And then after we have courage and trust in God, then we must plant the seed. This could mean several things, such as inviting someone to church, asking them to have a Bible study, or inviting them to a more casual church event. For me personally, when I like to invite my friends who don't normally go to church-related events, I like to invite them to lock-ins to get them more associated with the church environment and some of the people at the church in a more casual way. And even something small like this could make a life-altering difference on someone. We never know how somebody's going to interpret something that we do for them. And as said, referencing back to Matthew chapter 13, for those that don't understand the scriptures, the evil one comes and snatches them away. And what I take from that is that we must make our intentions and we must make the scriptures clear. Many people don't believe due to simple misinterpretation or believing that the Bible has flaws. A common turnoff that I hear from unbelievers is that many Christians are two-faced. And while that is true for some Christians, that's not an accurate reflection of all Christians. So we have to make our intentions clear so that we don't come off that way. And we must also make sure that we're making the scriptures clear. Another common atheist turnoff that I hear a lot is that the God of the Old Testament was murderous and a savage. And if they would actually look into it, they would see that a farther statement from the truth simply could not be made. So we must continually invite them and teach them the scriptures and show them the evidence. And unfortunately, the image that I get from a lot of unbelievers is that if the scriptures appear wrong to them, or if it seems like there's not enough proof in order to prove religion to somebody, then clearly atheism must be the answer. So for me, since I've been searching so much and I found so many answers and I found biblical and scientific evidence, there's nothing wrong with solidifying faith with evidence if someone is struggling with faith. And of course, in all that we do, we must be praying, we must be patient and loving, and we must continually pray without ceasing and give God the glory for what we do. Because God is the only one who can nourish the seed. And as Paul truthfully says in 1 Corinthians, so then neither he who plants or waters is anything, but God causes the growth. Meaning that we can invite people to church and have Bible studies with them all we want, and that's great, but only God can cause them to have faith. And as believers, we must also beware that we don't let persecution drive us away nor allow the worry of the world to choke the word. For example, often when I'm at school and I'm talking to a group of my friends who don't normally go to church and they ask me about going to church, it would be the easiest thing in the world to say that, of course, I don't go to church. And also, we must not let the worry of the world choke the word. Often when I'm having a really busy day and I'm doing a lot of stuff and I'm stressed out, the last thing on my mind is praying to God, when in reality that needs to be what I'm doing at that moment. So in reality, planting the seed isn't that complicated, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard. As I said earlier, for me personally, the hardest part is just taking the first step and asking, because I'm afraid of persecution, when in reality the worst answer I can get is no. And when we're asking our friends and our family and inviting them to church and trying to plant the seeds in them, that is one of the most worthwhile things that we can be doing for them. So I hope that we're all encouraged to do that. It's very important. It could be the determining factor that saves someone's soul. Just doing that, taking that little step, we never know how it could change somebody else's life. So I would like to conclude this portion of the sermon with a short prayer, if you all will bow with me. Father in heaven, allow us all to have courage to plant the seeds of faith in those close to us. Allow us all to be steadfast in our own faith and all that we do, and always remember to give you the glory. Allow our faith to be stronger than the world's persecution, and let not wealth nor worldly worries choke our faith as heard in the scriptures. Let us hear and deliver the word of the kingdom that we may ascend and bring others to the kingdom. Allow us always to give you the glory in everything that we do, and bless this service tonight. In your name we pray, amen.